First John chapter 2. If you make it to Revelation, back up. If you got over into Peter, keep going. You'll get there. And we're not going to read every one of these. Actually, I forgot how many I'm going through. We may read them all. You just never know. Start chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know, wait a minute, that wasn't just for the select few. That's for the whole world. Amen. All right, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. That tells you something. If you want to know if you're saved, read that. Think about what it says. Meditate on what it says. It'll help you there. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Let's go to the Lord. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we thank You this evening, Lord, for this opportunity to study Your Word. Open our hearts and minds to it, Lord, that, Lord, we can, Lord, we can take it in and we can use it. Lord, be doers, not just hearers, but that others would see Christ in us and want to come to You and have the same assurance and the same peace and joy. And we thank You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, sure. I'll have to put that on. Thank you. Gracias, amigo. I don't know if they speak that in Guam, but mucho trabajo, poquito nada. Oh. My rewards are in heaven. I ain't worried about here. And I don't know if anybody caught all that. But anyhow, so what areas do me a favor, get me a bottle of water. That ain't mine. Oh, Jeff will get it. Brother Jeff got it. What areas of life do you find difficult to trust and obey God? You know, that really and truly, that's a good question. Some of us get along okay in this area. Some of us may be out on a limb in this area. Some of us be done fell in the ditch in certain areas. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll take them both. One off. So think about that. What areas in life do you find most difficult to trust and obey God? I'll give some examples. I know certain people that claim, now, and I don't know whether they are or not, but they claim to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, but they'll never darken the door of a church. Now, I'm not going to say that they're not saved, because I ain't God. Now, he says we'd know by the fruit, but I'm going to leave that alone. But they don't live any different than the rest of the heathens out there. Maybe that's one of their difficulties, is getting it together and serving the Lord the way they ought to. Some people, they may have it, they may find a hard time cleaning up their vocabulary. I used to use a certain word that start right after the letter E. I used that word a whole lot. And I had to clean that up. You know, but I didn't have a difficulty doing that, but I know some people that do. Some people have a problem with alcohol. Some of them know what this is. White lightning in itself isn't wrong. I know people cook with it. It's what they do with it after they ate that causes a problem. And there's certain people that have a real problem with alcohol. Now, I'm not a big fan of drinkers. I used to drink, and I drank for one reason. That's to get toasted. I mean, why else would you? You know, it's not like it solves your problem. It's to get high. Honestly, that's what it's for. And so you get that buzz. And a lot of people like that. I had a real problem with drugs, especially prescription drugs, because they're easy to get and they ain't illegal. You know, and I had a real problem. That was where my area was that was the problem. So that's just some examples. There may be some other things that I left out. But where do you find the most difficulty to trust in? Maybe it's in the direction that you think you're supposed to go, but God's saying, no. You know, maybe that's where you find a problem at. I don't know. Everybody's different. So let's dig a little bit. Verses 1 through 8, we read, God forgives sin. Look at verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Okay, we ain't supposed to sin. Really, we ain't. But is it possible to not sin every day? No, there you go. Nah, probably not. If you figure that out, let me know. Because you see, back in verse 8 of chapter 1, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth ain't in us. And so, yeah, we're going to sin. We do. Somebody pulls out in front of us. What's the first thought comes in your head? Don't say it. You know, and people want to wave at them with that certain finger. You know, it. I had a guy the other day flip me off for no reason that I know of. I'm just going down the road and he pulled up there and gassed it. And I'm like, okay, love you too. Maybe I slung a rock. I mean, there ain't enough tread on my tire to do that, so I ain't real sure. Maybe I pulled out in front of him. I don't know. Because a lot of times I'm driving along and all of a sudden I wake up and I'm like, oh. You know, I mean, you turn back there. You know, I got a lot of things on my mind. I'm thinking about folk like Elmo. Where is Elmo? Where, you know. And then all of a sudden I realize, oh, that's a red light. No. So it boils down to you know, we all sin. God forgives sin, but that doesn't give us a reason just to go out and sin. They don't really give you a license to sin because, well, now the Lord will forgive me. Well, I'm going down to Treasures because I want to watch the dancers. And while I'm there, I might as well get drunk. I mean, you know, maybe take one home. Maybe it's not quite that.
Maybe it's well. I've decided that I'm fed up with my neighbor and I'm going to chew him out. You know, we all have an issue in our life. God forgives our sin, but it doesn't open the door for us just to go out and just sin. We ought not to be doing that. Really, we shouldn't. Now, we mess up, okay? I get that. So John wrote these words, really, that we do our best not to sin. So what's the promise given if we do mess up? Well, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any... Here, we'll change it. But if any person sins, that's basically what it said. If any man sin, we have, that's all of us. So if a person sins, you have an advocate. Somebody tell me what an advocate is.
Thank you, Jesus. Somebody speak up for
us. There you go. Jesus speaks up for us with the Father. You see, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, because this is what happens. See, here's what goes on in heaven on a daily basis. There we are, we get out of bed, we're going to work, and the devil shows up to God and says, "Hey, look after me. Look what you've been doing." And Jesus said, "He's covered in the blood. That changes everything."
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. See, it does. It changes it all.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the devil does this on a daily basis. Look at Elmo. Look what he did. He might even say, "Look, oh, did you see what Kevin did to his little brother? Has he got a big brother?" Oh. And Jesus says, "Act. They're covered.
Thank you.
They're covered." And the devil's like, "So, begin." So, you know, that's what goes on. What a promise we have that God takes care of us like that. That's a real blessing. As we mentioned the other day from chapter 1 of this same book, our sins have been forgiven. And we no longer stand condemned before God.
Yes.
Oh, hey, now you ought not to get excited over that. You really shouldn't. But really, when you think about, I told somebody, I said, "My sins have been forgiven, and I'm not condemned before an almighty God." That's good. That means a lot right now. It really does.
Yes.
But when I'm laying in the deathbed, the doctor says, "You got a few hours." It means a whole lot. Because I am about to meet the Almighty God. And guess what? I don't stand condemned before Him.
Amen.
Because my sins have been... That'll make you want to say, "Woo! Hallelujah!" Amen?
Amen?
I'm serious. That'll get you excited. Because right now, we don't think about how serious that is.
Yeah.
But boy, when we're getting close to time to meet Him, He's like, That's when we start really searching. Yeah, amen. John made it plain that the difference between walking in the light and walking in darkness. He made it real plain. It's not hard. In the first chapter, he made that clear. But now he's addressing our behavioral differences. Not just our walking, but our behavioral differences. You see, that's what people see. You ever seen Walmart kids? You ever been a Walmart kid? Fall down the floor and, you know. My grandchild, we went walking through Walmart a few years ago. I forget which one it was. Might have been Avery, could have been Camden. Anyway, looked over at this kid pitching a fit, laying on the floor, and they said, "She needs a whipping." Well, that's true. You know, there's a difference. That's what he's talking about, you see.
There is behavioral differences that exist between walking in the light and walking in the dark. So it's kind of like a test for us that determines if a person truly knows they are born again.
Yes.
If a person really wants to know that they're going to heaven, they've trusted the Lord Jesus, they just need to read the book 1 John.
Man.
And when you're done with it, you ought to know. You see, where was I? Right there. Verse 3 through 7, he says, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Uh-oh. Well, that may, I ain't saved then. Because there's been a few times I ain't kept his commandments. No. We're not talking about sins when we mess up. We're talking about in our hearts, in our minds, do we want to serve the Lord? If you don't have that desire, then I'll tell you. You've got a serious root problem. I'll just be honest with you. What you need to do is get saved. It plainly states it. You see, before we talk about mainly all this, we need to remember what a saved person is. A saved person is a saved sinner. Okay? A saved sinner is, the only difference between them and a lost sinner is that they saved. The sinner part still stayed there. Now, we don't sin as much, or we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be wanting to.
That's right. That's right.
But what we got to do is we got to work at it daily. How easy is it? It ain't that easy sometimes. There's some people make you mad. It's real easy to get in the flesh, right?
Amen.
It is for me.
It is.
So we need to remember that. You see, we're saved sinners, and because of that, we can sin less. We ain't going to be sinless, but we can sin less. And if we're not attempting to sin less, something's wrong. You need to do some researching. Need to dig in there and say what's here. Now, here's the test. Let's look at verse 9 of chapter 2, verse 9. "He that saith he is in the light." If you're here and you say, "Oh, I'm saved," I'm going to paraphrase for you and change some things around, because that's basically what it's saying. If we're saved, if we're children of the light, which means you're saved, but you hate your brother, there's a problem there. Now let's go on. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in," what's it say?
Darkness.
"And walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes." In other words, if we truly just hate people, I'm going to be honest. There's some folk I do not like. There's some folk that's running this country that they make me want to vomit every time I hear them or see them. But I'm going to be upfront with you. I don't hate them.
Amen.
I may hate what they're doing. But I don't hate them. I really don't want to see any of them go to hell. If we look at somebody and say, "You just go to hell," and you're dead serious, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And the more likely is you ain't got Jesus to start with. Right. You might have had him here, but you didn't have him here.
Amen.
There ain't nobody that I want to see go to hell.
Yeah.
Even the lady that run over my good friend and song leader from this church, Ryan Billett, she was more than likely drugging or drinking when she took him out at about 90 miles an hour. He was beside his wrecker. And she hit him and sent him they're estimating about 40 feet into the air.
Oh, Jesus.
And by the way, he didn't die right away. The paramedic was there with him. I'm going to be up front with you. Do I have a problem with her? Uh-huh. I got a real problem with her. But I don't hate her enough that I want to see her going to hell. She needs to get saved. And I have to look at it. I forgive her for what she did. Because there's a lot of people devastated by his death. But she's going to get punished. Probably ain't enough. But she's going to be punished. But I don't hate the woman. I got a problem with that. I can't hate her. Because it ain't in me to hate, because I got the Lord Jesus in my heart. Amen. Listen, there I used to hate people. But when the Lord came into my heart, I don't have that problem. Seriously. If you've got that problem, you need to back up and say something's wrong. Either the spirit's really, really sick. And that can be. I'll be upfront with you. That can be, because after I was saved and wasn't totally all surrendered to the Lord, there was a few people that I had real issues with that I would rate on the hate level because of what was going on. But really, when I back up now and I look at it, it wasn't I hated them individually. It was I hated what they were doing. But we can't have that. The Lord Jesus won't let you keep that going. You might get that attitude with somebody, but if you don't get your hind end spanked from it, you better back up and check what's wrong.
Amen. Amen.
Which means you need to get saved, be honest with you. I don't know any other way to look at it. You see, John makes it perfectly clear that a person who knows God and obeys God, in other words, to make it just totally clear here, a person who truly has trusted the Lord Jesus is diligently working at obeying the Lord.
Yes.
Now, I said diligently working at it, because we don't always do that perfectly. One, we're humans. Number two, we listen to the flesh too much. But we truly, a person that knows the Lord and is saved, truly does desire to fellowship with God, to fellowship with Jesus, and to fellowship with the others that do the same thing.
Amen.
If you don't have those things, something's wrong. And this truly is the only way that we can have true fellowship with all three and have joy, peace in our lives. The only true way you can have total love, total peace, and total joy is if we're obeying God. If we're seeking fellowship with God and with Jesus and with His followers. If we're not seeking that, something's wrong. We've got something. We've got our spirit is just sick. COVID ain't nothing compared to what's going on in there. It needs to be fixed. Jesus can fix it because He's a doctor. Amen. Oh man, Randy Travis sings a song, Dr. Jesus. I like that. Oh, I like that song. It's good. It got a bluesy sound. We'll have to do that one of these days. Listen. It's good. He is the physician. He's the one that can fix the problem. Now, John closes out with verse 14. Let's look at, we stopped at 11, I think. Look at verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, John closes out that verse with these three groups, little children, fathers, and young men. And the reasons were given in verses 12 through 14. Our sins are forgiven. We know him. And we've overcome. True, we're in this world. True, we sin. But our sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
Past, present, future. They're forgiven. We're no longer condemned before an almighty God. And because Jesus overcome, we have overcome in the end. But we can overcome now if we're willing to give it to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, we got to be willing to give it. You find yourself, you know, you get that real hot feeling up here. And you, your eyes, I don't know if yours do that. When my blood pressure goes, because somebody just torqued me off, my head gets real hot about here up. And my eyes start getting this milky color. And that's a good time to leave the room, huh? And they burn. They burn. My eyes burn. But I get this milky color when I've stepped over the line. And it's usually, when I get that, it's usually too late. Somebody's going to get hurt. but when I get into that area, that's when we need to get a grip and say, whoa, wait a minute. That's when I got to back up and say, no, hang on. And go pray about it.
Yeah.
You see, if we're willing to do that, then we can overcome about what we were about to do. Because
yeah.
See, there's a step process in all that. When you read Paul, Paul talks about anger and he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And he goes into all these stages. You see, what can happen, and it happens all the time. You get that hot feeling, your blood pressure climbs. Everybody does it. You start getting a little shake and a little tremble. Your eyes are burning. You're mad. You're ready to hurt somebody. The problem is, if you don't get control of it, you end up sitting in prison on death row because you took somebody's life.
Yes.
It'll work to that. Oh, Pastor, I would never kill nobody, really.
Yeah.
I've known some people that were willing to do it.
Yeah.
After they had gotten angry, before that, they wouldn't hurt a flea.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pushed them that far, you know, because now they're not thinking right no more.
No.
They're not with their heart. They're not even thinking with their mind now. It's just a reaction. It's best to get a hold of it and give it to the Lord. Now, let's dig just a little deeper. John, he wasn't alone in stressing the difference between folks who say they follow Christ and those who actually do follow Christ. You see, now, we look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 19 through 24. Let's go over there real quick. John 14, 19 through 24. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What was that? Yeah. No, 20. Oh, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and we will come unto him, good grief, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now, John, he says, listen, he stresses the difference between folks who say they follow Christ and those who actually follow Christ. That's a person that actually follows Christ is a person that does your best to keep the Lord's commandments. What's the Lord's commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, right?
Yeah.
And love one another.
Amen.
Well, only people like Elmo. It's easy to love Elmo. It is. It from the day I met him, it's just easy. But then you got Lord. You know, I at work at that. Because Lori's a lot like me. Lori tell you what to do with it quicker than I will, but I'm right there with her. We're to love one another, though. That's what we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Whether we might have an issue with that person, we're still to love them.
That's right.
It's just something we need to. That's the difference of somebody that actually is following the Lord. There's folks say, yeah, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus. But as I mentioned earlier, they don't ever come to church. They don't darken the door of the Lord's. Listen, the Lord gave His life and shed His blood for the church. Shouldn't you want to be in it? Shouldn't you want to be a part of it? Shouldn't you want to fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ? If you don't want to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, something's wrong. We got to figure it out. Guy today got saved. I've been preaching to him off and on since 2013. Been praying for him since that long. Well, he said, I need to talk with you. Crying. We talk, grown man. We go in my office, we talk. He said, tell me, how is it a guy can live a good life and die and go to hell and he ain't never heard of Jesus? I said, it ain't. That won't happen. The Lord will make the arrangement for the deepest, darkest jungle or wherever, they will hear about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They've got that opportunity. What? So a man lives a Christian life and he ain't saved, he's going to go to hell. And I said, you can't live a Christian life without being saved. What? Well, so we talked about it. He said, well, I've always believed in Jesus. I said, me too. I was raised in a Christian home. And I believed in Jesus all those years. But I never asked Jesus to save me. I never put my trust in Jesus. If you haven't stopped and placed your trust in Jesus and said, Jesus, save me, you're going to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's real simple. The Bible says so.
Yeah.
You've got to trust Jesus Christ and ask Him into your heart. Jesus told His disciples He was about to die in verses 19 through 21. But what does Jesus say we desire if we have Him within? We desire to serve Him. We desire to please Him. That's what the Bible says. That ain't what Jim Smith says. The Bible says if we have Jesus in our hearts, we desire to serve Him. So there's an answer. When we look at it, you see, sins are forgiven because you have known Him and you have overcome the wicked one. And we want to serve Him if we're truly His. Now, no doubt the disciples, they weren't expecting Jesus to pack up and leave. They wanted Him to take over Israel, get rid of the Romans. But Jesus promised them. He said, I'll be back. I'm coming to get you. But He's also said, I'm going to send you the Comforter.
Amen.
He's going to be here with you. He's going to take care of you. So, this brings us to a whole nother book. My favorite one. Turn over to the book of James. The book of James, it's one of them books you look at and you're like, oh. You ever had that? Oh, what do you have to say that for? Look at James chapter 1, verse 23. All right, if I hurry, we can get done with all this. I got to quit chasing rabbits. James, yeah, chapter 1, verse, what'd I say? 23 through 27. He says, well, let me read 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know there's people going to wake up in hell and say, whoa, wait a minute. They're going to stand before God one day at the great white throne. Hey, I did this for you. That's it. They are. They're going to stand. Listen, I prayed for lots of people. I didn't hear Benny Hinn now. I healed lots of folks. Yeah, that's what I've done this for you, God. And he's going to say, depart from me for I never knew you. Because, listen, what was it for? For flesh. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceive yourself. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You read the Bible, and the Bible says you need to trust the Lord Jesus. You need to, and you're like, okay. And then you turn around and walk off and you continue being who you were to start with. It's kind of like you walk up to the mirror, and I've said this many times here. You walk up the mirror and you look and you're like, and you go on down the road. But when you really, really look at it. Now, 25 said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Right here. Hello, everybody look up here. That's the perfect law of liberty. The Word of God. If you don't go along with the Word of God, throw it in the trash. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. What other verse? 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God to the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Basically, he just said, look, if you look into the perfect law of liberty, if you look in that mirror and you're like, and I got some problems. You know them angel kisses you used to have when you were little bitty? They ain't angel kisses no more. That's called age spots. You start seeing all that. And it's like, well, yeah, it used to be kind of reddish. It's gray now. She's done most of it. But nonetheless, it's gray. And that and back there. It's gray. I got wrinkles. My grandmother, God bless her soul, she's in heaven now, but she got dementia in her later years. She'd look in the mirror. There was a mirror across from her bed. She said, I don't know who that woman is there. She's all wrinkled. She said, I ain't got a wrinkle on. Listen, you look like a road map. You know, I mean, she's in her 90s. Good grief. She had wrinkles. You know, when we look into the perfect law of liberty, when we look into the Word of God and we say, hey, I need to fix this problem. I need to fix that problem. I need to work on this problem. Now we're getting to where we're supposed to be. Now, I ain't saying you're going to get this problem perfect and you're going to fix that problem and you're going to get this well, little paint helps an old barn. Now, I ain't saying no more than that. You go out in your yard and you got an old barn, put my pickup truck. My pickup truck needs some paint. A little here and there would help it. That's the way we work at it. We're work in progress. We got to work on this and then work on that. And we may have to go back and fix a little on this because we didn't get it quite like it should have been. It's a constant daily thing with us. That's what we need to be doing. We're not going to finish this today. Oh, well. So we got to work on it. Basically, James is saying that one who looks in the mirror and walks off got problems. But the one that looks right here into the perfect law of liberty and says, Jesus, help me to get it right. That's the one you know that you're doing what you're supposed to do. So, this is hard to find a stopping point. Now, contrast with that those who look in the mirror and realize they have problems. And we start straightening them out. Now, I'm going to be up front with actions do speak louder than words.
Amen.
And so, it is in the Christian life, in the Christian faith, those who are lost can see through you, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They can.
Yes, they can.
And they're watching. If you claim to be a child of God, they're watching you whether you know it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And now, first time you mess up, well, I thought you was a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought you was a Christian. A Christian wouldn't think like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do that. You see, so we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's some questions. And then, we're almost done. Here's some questions. What did John say about people who do not obey the commandments? Go back to 1 John. We ain't far from it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. The one that doesn't obey Christ. It said, chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandment, what's it say? He's a liar. Uh-oh. Now, I ain't saying, oh, don't go there, brother. That's bad. That's true, though. He's a liar. And the truth is, what's the truth? Jesus, if I say I'm a Christian, but I don't care nothing about serving the Lord Jesus, the Bible just told me that I'm a liar and the truth ain't in me. It's real simple. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. What about those who keep God's word? Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Now listen. Not perfect. Perfected. That means you started over here and you're working at getting to perfection. Which will happen when Jesus says, come up hither. That's when that'll happen. Up until then, that ain't going to happen. You're going to get, you start out right here. You're down in the hole. You get saved. And then you move. And then you screw up. I didn't say that. And then you move. And then you move. And the further I get away from the hole, when I do mess up, I don't get nowhere near close to it. And I keep moving in the direction I'm supposed to, but when I do sin, back up a little bit and then I ask for forgiveness, whoop, right back where I should be. And I keep getting further and further away. That's what we're after. That's what verse 5 says. What about if we hate our brothers and sisters and reject fellowship? We got problems. Truth ain't in you. What happens when the Word of God truly does abide with us? Look at verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known. You know that who is from the beginning. He wrote unto the young men, you're strong. You know the Word. The Word abideth in you. You overcome. Now, think on this. How are people viewing you? How do they see you? Are you a follower of Christ in word and deed?
All right, now.
Doers or hearers? Hearers only deceive themselves. But doers are proving it. Last question. What are some ways that you can love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Think about it. What are some ways you can do? There's lots of ways to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we obeyed our earthly parents, things went pretty smooth. Well, when we obey God, things go pretty smooth. But now, if I didn't obey my dad, it wasn't smooth when he got home. If I don't obey God, it ain't going to be smooth. He may get my attention just by making me feel bad about it. Then again, he may give me a scar or two. I got a few limps because of it. Because of disobedience. The Lord will get our attention. You see, when we please our parents, things went good. We want to please God and have unity, love, peace, and joy.
Amen.
Now, if we intend to walk in love like Jesus walked, then we must learn to walk in obedience to God as Jesus did.
That's right.
That's what we got to do. You see, that's done by a greater prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Lord, I got a problem with my neighbor. Help me out.
Help me out.
Lord, I got a problem with my wife.
Yeah.
She just irritates sometimes. Help me out. Because it's rough when I get on her case. She's Southern. She hurts you. Frying pans are not just for cooking. Bless God. Am I right, Elmo?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, amen. Lord, help me out here because I need help. Listen, we need help. All right. Pray before you enter into a situation. Think about that. Don't just walk in, start running your mouth. Pray before you go in, because listen, ask the Lord to help you. Philippians 4:13, I do all things that Christ strengthened me. But Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, and that's the last scripture I'm going to read, no kidding. Chapter 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You need to understand, if you're about to speak to someone, and maybe they're not saved, or maybe you don't even know it, you need to remember the times. We are close to the rapture. We're not that far from it. We can't be. Not the way things are going. Now look at verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You see, you need to ask yourself. When you do that, when people see the love and peace of God in your life, they'll be drawn to Jesus because they'll know honestly that you love God and that you're living in fellowship with Him. Why do you think the Philippian jailer got saved? Because he could see the love of God in Paul and Silas. And he wanted what they had. Does your life demonstrate to others that you are living in fellowship with God? Think about that. Does it? You don't have to answer me. But we need to think about that.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to be dismissed here in a moment. Let's all stand. By the way, Wednesday, Lord willing, we're going to discuss loving the world.
All right.
That's in chapter 2 of 1 John. But where's your... It,